Welcome back to Sources from the Sofa. This is Rome. We got the full lineup again tonight. Jason and Aaron, we just got done watching Thursday Night Football, the Pats at the Jets. Jets finally wake up and kind of show us their potential. And Pats, is it back to the median? Who knows? We'll get into that. We'll also go over NFL lines and then some college football. Aaron's games of the week, if you will. First, let's get started with the Jets and the Pats. Jets win 24-3. Aaron Rodgers looked really nice tonight. Got outside the pocket, threw some lasers down the field. Lazard had a nice 10-yard catch in the first quarter. Breece Hall had a 1-yard touchdown run in the second. Based on the yardage differential in the first half, Pats had 40-something yards. Jets had 250. You would think the score would be 21-24-3, but it was only 14-3 at the half. And then second quarter, more or less the same thing. Jets dominated the play clock, averaging 10 minutes per quarter, getting a couple more scores, touchdown and a field goal. Garrett Wilson had a nice grab in the third quarter. And Jets completely dominated. They looked really nice. What'd you guys think? Is this the Jets that we all expected? At least I expect this since I picked them to win the division after you guys talked me out of the Bills. Or is this the Pats going back to the mean of what they should look like? Or is this just, you know, finally things are starting to click for both teams in the direction that they're supposed to be going to, so to speak?
Well, I'll start with the Patriots. This is kind of what we expected from them. They came out the first 2 weeks, looked pretty good, upsetting the Bengals there in week one, taking the Seahawks overtime in week two. But the Jets dominated them, stopped them from running the ball. That's been what the Patriots been their MO the first 2 weeks. Ball control, run the ball. Jets stopped that right off the bat, forced the Patriots into a passing game. They have no wide receivers. They have the tight end, Henry. But the Jets controlled line of scrimmage, blitzing, pressure, looks, and just controlled the Patriots on defense. Didn't let them get anything going. No momentum all night for the Patriots. And for the Jets, you mentioned Rodgers looked good. Mobility getting in and out of the pocket. We haven't seen that all year, especially in the first 2 weeks. And obviously last year he didn't play. So coming off the Achilles, 40-year-old quarterback, showing the mobility. I think he even said in the post-game conference, he was doing stuff that he hadn't done since his younger days back in Green Bay. That's a good sight to see if you're a Jets fan, because no matter how good your offensive line is, your quarterback's going to need to get out of the pocket, make some plays with his feet and arm to elude some pressure and allow those receivers to come open downfield. So for the Jets, really a balanced game plan. You know, tight end Coughlin had a good game. I think he had, you know, 6 catches for 94 yards. Garrett Wilson, obviously, with a touchdown. Breece Hall, the running back, with Allen now. So they got the two tandems back there in the running game. The O-line, Moses got hurt there towards the end of the game. We'll keep an eye out on him, see what the injury report shows. But for the Jets, this was, you know, being their home opener against a New England team, we expect them to win. They dominated the game. So this is something I think they can take positive going forward.
Yeah, I agree with Aaron. And Aaron Rodgers, I guess that's it too, but got the ball around to 8 different receivers in the game. I think all 8 of those receivers had multi, you know, receptions on the day. Breece Hall was great. Allen was good as well too. So a good dynamic to change of pace between the two backs. So yeah, I mean, at beginning of the year, this is what we thought the Jets team, you know, would have been potentially at the beginning of last year before Rodgers went down. And, you know, I think, you know, picking to win the division, like you, I guess we talked you out of Rome, but I mean, this is the team we all agreed was going to make the playoffs, potentially make the run, you know, get down to the middle of the season. Will the Jets be the Jets, you know, and potentially disappoint down the back end? You know, time will tell on that. You know, however, this was the performance, you know, we expected to see out of the Jets. And as Aaron Toler mentioned on this, on Aaron Rodgers, you know, the mobility was there that we didn't see in the first couple games, but a good complement and a really balanced offensive attack. On the Patriots, on the flip side, you stop Stevenson in the run game, you know, they just basically put it all on Brissett. Pass rush was getting to him fairly quickly. No really dynamic wide receivers. They're going to get a ton of separation. I think Henry was, you know, maybe the exception on a few screens here and there, but really that's what you want to do with the Patriots with kind of the rebuilding mode they're at. So I think this is probably the particular game, beginning of the year, you would expected the Jets to beat the Patriots in this, you know, third game of the season, and went as it was.
Yeah, I just want to mention Aaron Rodgers almost passed for 300 yards. He hasn't had that in a couple years. Pretty nice. Besides that, tweet. We'll come back with NFL lines in a minute. All right, so we are back with NFL odds for week 3. Tonight, we're treated to a new launch for the Jets, and we're going to move on to everybody else. Interesting games this week. Lots of weird lines, lots of 1 point or, you know, big points like the 6 that we had tonight, another 6 or 7 late on for Sunday night. I don't know what to really make of it. I think there's like some pick 'em games. Some people are expecting some 0-2 teams to kind of rebound. But let's get after it. We'll start with the 10 a.m. games, at least 10 a.m. for the West Coast. Chargers at the Steelers. Steelers slightly favored by 2.5. It was 1.5 really in the week. And then over under at 36.5.
Yeah, I mean, this game is between 1.5, 2.5, depending on what line you get. This is the battle this week. I think the only 2-0 teams battling it out this week in Pittsburgh, they're hoping her. So, Roman, your team 2-0 against my mother's team, Ape. Chargers 2-0. Should be a good game. Looking forward to it. Justin Fields, home opener. Pittsburgh home opener. Mike Tomlin, Harbaugh coming into town. Should be a good game.
Yeah, I think whatever line you get, I think right now, just looking at the ESPN bet odds right now, I think it's +1.5 for the Chargers. Good game, but for Rome Steelers, I know he thinks Justin Fields is playing the best football of his pro career so far, but I don't think we've seen that. Just
the cleanest, for sure.
The cleanest. All right. Well, yeah. But I think surprising from the Chargers so far, given how much talent they lost, but really Harbaugh playing his game, really establishing the run game. And I think this is going to be a real probably slugfest, just generally almost like an AFC North would be for the Steelers Ravens. So, but I think the Chargers +1.5 is probably where you go right now, because that team's pretty balanced out there for the Chargers, and from a Steelers team that's been quite surprising. But I think more surprising for the Chargers, for between them getting the running game and Herbert finding some new weapons.
So you got the Chargers this week, huh, Jason?
Yeah.
Okay. Rome, you got the Steelers, yeah?
I'm gonna have to go with the Steelers. I just like the defense.
So I'm the tiebreaker then.
Yeah, as long as Watt's healthy, as long as the defense is swarming the other opponent. Herbert hasn't been throwing the way he has been in the past seasons. And plus, Fields, he hasn't played lights out. He hasn't turned the ball over. But we've also had like a nice like 4 or 5 catches at GP being called back, you know, for holding or some bullshit penalty from the offensive line. I think Steelers clean it up a little bit, and we bring it home and start the season 3-0.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little concerned that Fields hasn't turned the ball over, given his MO is. So I think he's going to turn the ball over at least once. If he can limit it to just one turnover, I think that'd be good for the Steelers. Herbert, you know, he's coming in, he's got a sore ankle, hasn't been practicing all week. All signs point from Harbaugh saying he's going to go. Chargers, like Jason mentioned, have really been, you know, running the ball really good, playing Harbaugh, good defense. I think it's going to be a tight game. Both teams have good kickers. I'm leaning towards the Steelers getting the win, though, on Sunday.
Yeah, 35.5, that's kind of low scoring. I'm kind of leaning towards the under on that one.
Feels like a 2017 type game.
Yeah. Next game, Texans 2-0 versus, so we do have two 2-0 games against the Vikings. Vikings +2, over under at 46.5.
Yeah, Texans, my team, obviously, this year I got them going to the Super Bowl. 2-0 going against Minnesota. Minnesota, maybe the surprise 2-0 team beating the 49ers. They're a little banged up too coming into this game. Justin Jefferson, injured quad, practicing this week. Looks like he'll go. Jordan Addison is still out. Looks like he'll be a no-go for them. Texans got a few guys banged up. Good matchup early in the year in Minnesota.
Yeah, I agree. I think we saw what the Texans did on Sunday night. You know, really controlled the ball with Stroud. Looked really good in the first half, not as good as the second half against the Bears defense. But with Jefferson, maybe potentially, he's a go with this, it seems like, even though probable at the quad. But I feel like Aaron's Super Bowl pick right now, the Texans are looking really good, and I would go with the Texans on this one. -2 they're at. I think that's even still generous for a Vikings team that, while surprising, additional pass rush, I think, on the quarterback that we saw them getting after Caleb Williams on Sunday night. And I think this is a defense that potentially travels up there to Minnesota to get the win.
Yeah, I know Vikings have played really well that thus far. Darnold has looked phenomenal in this new scheme, new system, new coaches. But without the weapons, I do think Texans come away with the win. Not sure. I think I would still give Houston the 2 points, actually. Staying away from the points, over or under, though.
I think the line doesn't matter here. I think whoever's going to win is going to cover. I'll agree with all you two. Texans across the board for me.
Nice. Next game, Eagles 1-1 against the 2-0 Saints with that high-octane David Carr, Alvin Kamara-led offense. Saints are favored by 2.5. With the point set at 49.5.
Yeah, interesting line. Before the Monday night collapse by the Eagles, they were actually favored. That line got changed after they lost the game to Atlanta. Saints, we talked about it on Monday, being the surprise team. I'm surprised the line is as low as it is, given the success that the Saints have had and how poor the Eagles have kind of looked on defense. They didn't look good in Brazil on that Friday against the Packers. I know they kind of held the Falcons to 22 points, but Falcons were able to move the ball up and down the field. Cousins never really was feeling any pressure. I like the Saints, and I like the Saints to roll big in this one, guys.
I really want to disagree with Aaron on that, but he's right. I mean, what you've seen from the Saints in the first two games offensively, are they still on a streak? They were 15 straight at so. They scored on every position. I don't know if that stopped in the second half versus Dallas, but I mean, this is a team that's going to put some points on the board, and I like the Saints as well, too.
I think this will go over. I'm thinking like some 35, 32, maybe like a 35-27 slugfest. I'm leaning towards the Saints just because of how mistake prone the Eagles have been on both sides of the ball. The defense has been kind of porous. At least they have a competent offensive coordinator now. So you're looking for Hurts to maybe not have as many turnovers, which has been the case in the first two games of the year. But Saints, look for them to go up 3-0 for me. Next game, Broncos 0-2 against the 2-0 Buccaneers, who I picked to win their division. Bucs are favored by 6.5 with the over-under at 40.5.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Buccaneers 2-0 looking impressive. The Broncos 0-2 not looking so good. This is what we call a trap game in the NFL. Buccaneers should win it, should probably win it pretty easily. I think the Broncos are going to keep it close. I think it's going to be a better game than people think. Bo Nix has shown signs of, at times, of, you know, getting out of the pocket, making some throws, making some plays. Broncos defense isn't bad. Buccaneers, they've got a couple guys still hurt. D lineman, Bay is out. I think it's going to be a close game, but Tampa and I think Baker in the end will get it done.
Yeah, I think Tampa wins the game, but agree with Aaron, it's going to be close. But if you're giving me 6.5 points on the Broncos, who have, while going 0-2, have kept both games close, I would definitely take the 6.5 points on the Broncos in this.
Those games have been pretty low scoring, though, and now you're facing a Buccaneers team that can definitely score. Is Evans, is he good? Is he hurt? I could have sworn he had an injury that he's dealing with.
I haven't heard anything. I know they got a few guys banged up on defense for Tampa.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I take the points, but definitely have Bucs winning it. Packers at the Titans. Homecoming, if you will, for Malik Willis, who was impressive in his first start for the Cheeseheads. Titans are favored by 3, who surprisingly have been pretty competitive. If you take away the lackluster play of Levitz, and they have a somewhat competent quarterback, you can say the Tennessee Titans could easily be 2-0 right now.
Yeah, I mean, if the Titans were only playing defense and you minus their offensive team and their special teams, they'd probably be 2-0 in this league. All kidding aside, you know, you mentioned Malik Willis going back there. This line could change, obviously, if Jordan Love gets the start. You know, we're tracking that. Our sources have told us it's about 55-45. He won't play, but, you know, we'll get more updates on that tomorrow when the final injury report and more practice updates come. I think Tennessee, as a favorite, a lot of people, the public is going to be on Green Bay. I'm going to take Tennessee, I think, in an upset if Malik Willis plays in this one.
Ooh,
Man, I really wanted to go with it. I thought Aaron would definitely go Packers, but I was leaning Titans as well too. To Aaron's point, this is a team that could be 2-0, both games versus the Bears and the Jets, who were really good tonight. They kept that game close within a one possession game. I like the Titans as well in an upset. I mean, they're going to come out with something to prove against Willis, and you know, I don't think Jordan Love plays. I haven't seen anything on that, regardless of what Aaron's sources are telling him over here, but. Yeah, I think the Titans pull this one out.
This is a stay away from me. Titans, I don't know what to expect out of their quarterback. And if LaFleur has a similar game plan of what he had last week, you know, Packers should have a good game. They had a really well-balanced game last time. You want to do that game next?
Yeah, it's 10 a.m. game.
I have one more bit before that. We'll go Giants-Browns. Giants 0-2 against the 1-1 Browns. This is going to be an ugly game. I'm not even going to watch it. I don't know. I might catch a little bit of it. Browns favored by 6.5. Another large spread. Over under 39.5.
I'll keep it quick. I'll keep it simple. I like the Browns run game defense to beat the Giants.
I like the Browns to win if you're going straight money line. However, 6.5 points, I mean, that's a lot to give the Giants for a team that kept the Commanders close. I know they got blown out, but the Vikings look terrible. But, I think that's a lot of points to give the Giants. So I think Browns definitely to win. Agree with Aaron. But I like taking the Giants plus 6.5 if you're giving me that many points against, you know, a Browns offense with Deshaun Watson that you don't know what you're going to get.
Our last morning game is the Chicago Bears. Jason's Chicago Bears. We did a little panic meter last week. He's not panicking, but everyone else on social and their fans in the Chicago area are slightly panicking. You got the Colts 0-2, slightly favored by 1.5. Over under is 43.5.
Yeah, I've been going back and forth on this game all week. It looks like Keenan Allen's going to miss this one again. You know, we mentioned the woes at the Bears offensive line has had in their offense in general. They're going against a defense with the Colts that everybody's just ran on the first 2 weeks. They're going to be about Forrest Buckner. He's out. There's Colts are getting some weapons back on offense. They're 0-2. They're at home. Bears 1-1. I'm going to take the Colts to win this game. I'm not real confident in it, but I like the Colts on Sunday.
You don't have to ask me. You know the Bears are going to win this game. Aaron already outlined Buckner being out, a Colts defensive line that gave away a lot in the run game. I think you're going to see a ton from Swift. If Shane Waldron's smart, we'll probably see maybe some Khalil Herbert that we haven't seen in the first two games. Take the pressure off of Kayla Williams, run the ball, get some timely passes in there. I like the Bears +1.5 in even money line.
Nice. I'm really curious to see if the Colts fix any aspect of their run defense. If they can minimize it by 50 yards so it's not a 300-yard game for the Bears. If their quarterback, he's been pretty electric. I think he leads the league in like plays over 50 yards in the past 2 years, which is pretty impressive since he's only played like 10 games in his whole career since high school. I'm leaning towards the Colts, but that's definitely going to be one of my four screens this Sunday. Let's go to the afternoon games. Carolina Panthers, everyone knows by now, Young is benched. It's over. It's done with. I think he will come back later on in the year, but as we mentioned, his confidence has looked shot. He's been a shell of his former self from his time with Alabama. And they face a really greedy Raiders team that's favored by 5 points with over under 39.5.
Yeah, Rome, like you mentioned, Bryce Young getting the bench for Andy Dalton. I wonder if even Bryce Young will be active on Sunday. That's curious. I agree with you. I think we will see him later in the year, but I think he needs to sit for about 2 to 3 months. Bring him back in about after Thanksgiving or something when Carolina's like 3-8. See what he's got the last 5 games of the year, see if he can get some momentum going, and see if he's a quarterback that you can build with for the future, or if you got to look to trade him in the offseason for a third, fourth, fifth round pick. Raiders, you mentioned they got a lot of mojo coming off a big win in Baltimore. This team is playing hard for AP. They look tough. I think they're just going to out-physical, out-grind. It's going to be an ugly game. But Raiders, I think, win 23-17. Cover the 5, too.
Cover the 5?
Cover the 5, yeah. I like the Raiders cover 5.
How much do you think Dalton has in the tank?
I saw him last year a couple games. He looked pretty good. I mean, for me, I think if you give Dalton weapons, which they don't have, that's a more concern for me, is just the weapons that they don't have. And the Raiders defensively have been pretty good. That defensive line is good. So they're going to put a lot of pressure on Andy Dalton. So I agree with them benching Young. The way the Raiders D-line has been controlling games these last 2 weeks, they controlled the Chargers for the first half. They controlled the Ravens second half, especially that fourth quarter. Dalton's a veteran. He'll get the ball out quick. He won't take the unnecessary hits. But, yeah, I'll take the Raiders.
Yeah, if you're looking at weapons out of Carolina, Adam Thielen, you know, that's their number one wide receiver at this point. The separation he can get, don't know if it's there. And if Dalton's even going to have enough time, like Aaron mentioned, against this Raiders front. So I like the Raiders as well. Very disappointing for Bryce Young. I think if anyone watched ESPN this week, Mel Kiper probably gave an all-time takedown take around, around, you know, the absolute organizational failure around Bryce Young. I think they've gotten roasted, you know, every which way for the trade, you know, that brought them Bryce Young, and then what they've done little to develop him and really shoot his confidence there. So it's really, really just been an utter waste. And going to Andy Dalton at this point, hopefully gives Bryce Young some time, you know, to be able to look. You know, going back to the Patriots, I think they're handling probably their situation with Drake May correctly, letting Jacoby Brissett play, let May sit back and watch. You know, not every quarterback needs to start in week one of their rookie year. That's been such a trend, you know, over the past, you know, decade or so of these guys got to play right away because there's so much upside to having a cheap rookie quarterback. But that's not for everyone. And there's something to be said for adjusting and adapting to the speed of the hardest position in sports, being a quarterback in the NFL. So, but again, agree with Aaron on this one. The Raiders, they got after Lamar last week. I think the getting after Andy Dalton and having him to work with what he has isn't going to be there. And you're going to see this Panthers team 0-3. We'll probably be talking week to week. Is this a team that goes 0-17 at some point?
I think I have something. I might be picking the Panthers for an upset this weekend.
You might be.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you're just drinking tea over there, right?
I think I am.
Okay. I just want to check.
I don't know. I'm feeling it.
Rome's got some sources inside the Panthers locker room that's feeding him stuff.
I think we'll be active on X as tomorrow and Saturday comes along. But
well, it's interesting. He started the segment asking, what does Andy Dalton have left in the tank? Obviously, enough. If he thinks they're going to beat the Raiders on Sunday.
Well, I just popped out of a Reddit board. I don't know.
He was setting us up with the question, Aaron. He's like, does he have any left in the tank? And then both of these guys picked the Raiders. But you know what? I know he's got something in the tank, and I'm picking the Panthers.
I'm leaning towards the Panthers for an upset.
Are you picking the upset to win the game, or you're taking them plus 5?
I don't think the Raiders cover. I really don't. I think they win by a field goal. They definitely don't cover. It's going to be ugly, maybe low scoring, possibly even take the under on that one. But
I still don't know his answer, Aaron. Is he picking them to win this game, or is he taking them plus 5?
I'm not sure. I'm staying away right now.
He's basically talking himself out of whatever he just said like 2 minutes ago, where he's thinking of an upset with the Panthers. Here's what we can conclude. He likes Carolina plus 5. Let's leave it at that.
Yeah. Go fuck yourselves, guys. Next up, Dolphins against the Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks favored by 4.5, over under 41.
Yeah, Miami coming in here. This can be the first game about Tua. Skylar Thompson getting the start. It's going to be interesting to see. This is a tough environment to go into Seattle and try to get a win. Seattle defensively has looked pretty good these first 2 weeks. Against quarterbacks that, you know, don't really have much of a passing game in Denver and New England. So this is the first time they're going to go against, you know, Tyreek and Waddle on the outside. Good running game for Miami with 10 days to prepare. 4.5 is kind of a tricky line. I think it started at 6. The sharps have kind of bet it down.
Yeah.
Seattle's going to win this game. It's a game I'd stay away from on the spread, though.
Yeah, one of those tough east going west games. I mean, going from Miami all the way to Seattle, you know, not the greatest road game to be going through. Miami through the first couple of games of the season, you know, leading the league and passing 265 a game, but 20th in rushing. And when you look at McDaniel being from that Shanahan tree and what they can get out of running games and stuff, with Skylar Thompson in the lineup, I think you definitely are going to see potentially more emphasis on the running game, whether it's, you know, Devon or a few other guys that they've got in that depth. But I think that's, you have to keep that game tight, you know, have the running game established, not force Skylar Thompson, try to force it to Tyreek, or else it's going to probably be a long game in Seattle.
Yeah. No Tua, no chance. Seattle all the way. Baltimore Ravens in a must-win game, in my opinion. 0-2, two tough losses to start the season, two games that they should have won, but they could have won against Dallas Cowboys, who got obliterated by the Saints last week. Cowboys plus one right now, 47.5.
Yeah, I think this game is a pick 'em. It could go either way. I mean, these two teams could play 10 times, and either side could win 5. Important game, like you mentioned, Rome, for Baltimore, considering Pittsburgh, if they win, goes to 3-0. So if they go to 0-3, that puts them 3 games back in the division 3 weeks in. Coming back from that deficit would be really, really difficult, especially we think Cleveland's going to win and go to 2-1, and we'll get to the Cincinnati game here later. I like Baltimore to bounce back. You know, Baltimore's kind of one of those teams when everybody's kind of written them off, talking smack on them, saying, have they lost it? Harbaugh, Lamar, they've always bounced back in a big way. Ravens are the side, I think, here. I like Baltimore to go into Dallas and beat the Cowboys.
Yeah, Aaron's absolutely right. This is a Baltimore bounce back game. Got to keep up with Rome Steelers within the division. It's going to be a really long, tight season with Pittsburgh getting off to a hot start. You know, Cincinnati kind of coming back, getting where they're at. So they got to win this game. You're going to get more misery out of Dallas. You know, it's going to be headlines everywhere. The Cowboys starting off the season 1-2, and they're usually the hot September team.
Yeah, Aaron, as you mentioned, this could definitely go either way. I expect Dallas to rebound. Just in every facet of the game, they just didn't show up last week. But also, I expect the Ravens to respond. They have too good of a coach, too good of a MVP caliber quarterback to go down 0-3. I think they walk away with the win. Detroit Lions against the Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals plus 3, and they're expecting a shootout here with 51.5.
I think we're going to get a shootout. I think this is going to be one of the more exciting games on Sunday. Lions coming in with that explosive offense. They've kind of been held in check. I think this is a game Goff and those guys, Jahmyr Gibbs, who Jason loves, gets it going. I think that's the big thing here. Detroit really kind of away from the running game. They haven't ran the ball as consistent as they have before. I think they're going to play physical. That's kind of Dan Campbell's MO. This team loses, they come out the next week kind of physical, hungry. So look for them to run the ball, get their running backs going. And then defensively, they've got to get after Kyler Murray, get pressure on him. I think Murray can have a good game too. Marvin Harrison Jr., all the weapons they got. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, as I mentioned. I think the Lions pull out the victory 30-27.
Yeah, shootout definitely all the way. This isn't going to be a defense that Arizona saw last week, which was the shambled, you know, medevac unit that the Rams had on the field. But Detroit's got to bounce back here. Really competitive division. Aaron and I have talked about the NFC North being probably the toughest division in football this year, and fully expect Detroit to really be on the comeback this game and win the shootout in the desert.
I'm going to stay away from this game, but I do expect it to go above 51.5. I don't know which way to go. Goff hasn't looked great, but he hasn't looked terrible either. And Arizona, we finally got a new look with all their weapons. Kyler Murphy getting almost a perfect
Murray,
QBR.
Murray, man. It's Murray.
I call him Murphy again. Can't believe it.
Hey, we weren't correcting you, and then you gave us feedback that you wanted to be corrected. So
you know,
here
we talked
are.
About this off the air. You know, I told him
yeah,
Murray.
Hit me up in the chat, Murray. Guys. Hey, open the chat. God damn, why did I call him Murphy again? You know what? And every time I say the word Murphy, I think about RoboCop.
I just picture RoboCop. Like, he just looks so robotic sometimes. Wait, I don't know.
Looks like how many people are gonna...
Maybe that's his new nickname. Let's just call Kyler Murray RoboCop.
What were you saying, Jason?
I was like, is anyone going to get a RoboCop reference in 2024 at this point right now?
No one under 30. That's a shame. The movie's still pretty good. We should do like a movie review on that one day.
Oh, RoboCop's great. I'm just saying, you know.
Love RoboCop.
You're losing the audience, anyone talking about RoboCop at this point.
I couldn't do RoboCop 2, but RoboCop 1, phenomenal.
I don't know if you're going to get Kyler Murray as RoboCop. I mean, he's waiting for that early November release of Call of Duty, so there's probably maybe some nickname in there for him for Call of Duty.
I'm waiting for it, too. I just don't know which one to get. You know, do I get a new PlayStation or a new Xbox? Get both. It's been a while since I played video games.
I mean, you got to get one and get on the College Football 25, man. That's been the game of the year right now. You got to be out there. You got to be out there rebuilding a program from the ground up.
Last time I played college football, Aaron got me on it. And every time I was at his house, I was probably like playing to like 4 in the morning, waking up at 9 o'clock, playing again for like another 14 hours, unless his dad kicked us out of the house. I think I should stay away from it.
Just out there, you know, putting time just in the recruiting. And now we got the portal in NCAA, you know, 25. So
that's,
I mean,
kind of cool.
You got to get on it. You got to get
that,
on it.
Is that part of the game?
Oh, it's part of the game. Yeah.
You got NIL money too, or what? Like a little salary cap?
Yeah, no NIL money, but you recruit the whole season, and then in the offseason, you got to finish the recruits, but then you got the transfer portal. So you potentially got to, you know, convince guys to stay that might be wanting to leave.
That's hilarious. All right, moving on.
The only place that the Northern Illinois Huskies I successfully led to 3 straight national championships.
That's kind of crazy that you would pick them. That's
you got to take a team out of the MAC, you know, and bring them to prominence, you know?
I dig it. I did it with Kansas State back on PlayStation 2. 49ers against the Rams. The 49ers, rather, are favored by 6.5, over under 43.5.
Yeah, this is the Rams' home opener, divisional game. Both teams banged up coming in. Rams really banged up. We've seen them last week in the desert get ran all over. I think they're going to bounce back and play a lot tougher. You know, when you get beat like that in the NFL, you watch the film all week practicing, you know, your division rival, the team that you hate the most coming in, 49ers. 49ers banged up too. Deebo out, but George Kittle likely to miss the game from sources I'm hearing. Rams, I'm not saying they win this game. It's an upset watch. I think they cover the 7, though.
Yeah, I agree with Aaron. The Niners win the game, but 6.5 points for the Rams. McVay's not going to get blown out 2 games in a row. I think you'll see something very different. This is a rivalry game, so I think that makes the game a lot tighter. And with both teams banged up, I think it brings it closer, you know, to the middle. But Niners win the game outright. Rams cover with the 6.5.
Sunday Night Football. Chiefs at the Falcons. Chiefs here by 3, 46.5 over.
Yeah, this is an interesting game. I don't really know what to make of Atlanta. They did not look good in week 1 offensively against Pittsburgh. Defensively, you know, you don't have to have a great defense to keep that offense in check from Pittsburgh. And then week 2, Philadelphia, mistakes, not taking points early in the game, throwing it instead of running it there on 3rd down. Atlanta really didn't have much consistency on offense, got some stuff going. Chiefs, we know they're not the same team. Jason's mentioned plenty of times with Tyreek Hill and the explosiveness. They just don't have that. They're more of a 8, 10, 12 play drive offense on the road being favored. Chiefs, I think, win. I'd stay away from the side on this game, though.
Yeah, I agree with Aaron. Totally stay away. I think it's a pick 'em. Even with the +3 the Falcons are getting, as offensively, Aaron, what they played, maybe 1 good half of football so far this season, you know, the 2nd half versus Philadelphia. Darnell Mooney is their leading receiver. I think all those receiving yards was in the 2nd half versus
might have been
Eagles.
In that last drive of the game.
It was in that last drive. So, you know, where Drake London got the touchdown pass, but really haven't seen from them. My guy, Kyle Pitts, one of these days, we're going to figure out how to get this guy the ball. I don't understand how, you know, we're not getting the ball. I'll be fooled every day because the guy
should be getting 100 yards every game. I don't know what we're doing here in Atlanta, but I think it's a pick 'em either way. You're coming off Mahomes' worst passing game maybe since his first year as a starter. But I think the offense bounces back in Kansas City. They win, but super tight game. I don't know if they covered.
For me, this is a pickup game, but I am going to pick the Falcons to upset the Chiefs. I kind of like what I saw out of the Falcons in the last game. They came back with some grit. I assume that they're going to probably kick it up another step up. We saw Rodgers bounce back again with like another good game. He's just going to get better as the season goes on, hopefully, and stays healthy. Maybe that's the same thing happening with Cousins because he really woke up in the second half. That's my upset special, Falcons over the Chiefs, and plus I hate the Chiefs, so 9 times out of 10 I'll be going against them. That's probably the only biased pick I'll be giving throughout the year, guys. Full disclosure.
Full disclosure. The podcast with no bias and straight. Yeah. This is the bias. Just I hate the biased, Chiefs.
Yeah, the biased guy is the guy that's the host, but yet episode one he said I was the
Chiefs guy. Should be 0-2. They have a loss coming. They deserve it. Falcons in the upset. It has to happen now. It has to happen now.
We'll see. I think they got a shot. They got a shot.
Yeah.
Coup of a late field goal, 51-yarder.
I love it. That'd be phenomenal, actually. Monday night, a doubleheader. Jacksonville Jaguars at the Buffalo Bills. Bills are favored by 5, 45.5 before the Commanders. I don't know why they have the Commanders, the Bengals at the second game, but Bengals are favored by 7 in that one, 47.5.
So what are we doing? Jaguars, Bills first?
Let's do Jag Bills first.
Buffalo. James Cook, that's Jason's guy. I think he's going to have a big game for Buffalo. Defense for Buffalo's banged up. Jacksonville, we talked about it. Can they convert in the red zone, limit turnovers? I see this being a tight game. I like Jacksonville to cover the 5.5. I think Buffalo wins with a late field goal, though.
Yeah, I hate to agree with Aaron, but a lot of points for the Jags to be taking the Bills at +5. Really need a big game from the Jaguars at this point right now. Trevor Lawrence got to get it done in the red zone. I think we've seen some flashes from Brian Thomas so far in his first two games. Need to get the ball to ETN, really control the game so we can keep the ball out of Josh Allen's hands. But ultimately, Buffalo has surprised us so far. And like Aaron said, my guy James Cook, feed him the ball on the offensive side for Buffalo, control the game there. It's going to be close. I'd stay away from it. I think the Bills win, but the Jags looking good to cover at the if they get +5.
I think that's just a stay away. Buffalo Bills have looked really impressive in the first two games. Jacksonville has not. This is the NFL. I just think this is just going to be one of those weeks when Jacksonville finally shows up. They kind of give notice like, hey, we're not going to, you know, just lay down all season. And Buffalo is just a loss. So not a big deal. They'll be 2-1 afterwards. I'm staying away, but I'm leaning towards a potential Jacksonville upset here. Commanders and Bengals. For me, this is just a must win for the Bengals. So I'm going Bengals all the way and for them to cover the 7. I don't think it'll go over the 47.5. I got it under.
Yeah, Rome, like you said, this is a must-win for the Bengals. They can't afford to go 0-3 in that division. Like I said earlier, if Pittsburgh goes a 3-0, Cleveland gets a 2-1, you can't afford to be 2-3 games back in your division first month into the season. This is a home game. They drop this one. That's two home games that they were more than touchdown favorites. If they lose to the Commanders, obviously losing the Patriots in week one. Joe Burrow, the offense showed some life last week. T. Higgins practicing. He might be back. But the defense, I think, will be the key. Jaden Daniels, give him some different looks. Get some pressure on him. Don't allow him to get outside the pocket and run. He's going to get some yardage. He'll probably run for 50, 60 yards. But limit the big plays in the passing game for the Redskins, or Commanders, excuse me. And for the Bengals, got to get the W. I agree. They get the job done. I think they cover the 7.5, too. This is a double-digit win for the Bengals.
Bengals definitely win this game. 7 points, a lot, considering a team that's 0-2 right now. But they got something to prove. It'll be the showcase here on Monday night. Big game from Ja'Marr Chase. I think he's going to come out. Gesicki's really found some life here after kind of being the witness protection program the last 2 years after some really big games or big seasons in Miami, you know. But Bengals got to be in this one. Expect them to roll. I'm with Aaron. They cover this one as well, too.
Cool. That's it. We'll come back with some college football. Aaron's second edition of Games to Watch for this weekend. Before we get started, I just want to plug our Dub Club. For those that do not know, we are providing picks on the daily, almost on the daily, MLB. And speaking of MLB, congrats to Sohei Ohtani for becoming the first guy to hit the 50-50 club. Pretty cool. I don't know if you guys want to talk about that really quickly before we move on.
Well, you brought it up, so we might as well.
We could do it later. Anyways,
no, we don't want to talk about
check
it.
Check out right our picks on Dub Club. We have links on all our social profiles on Instagram, X. We also have a Linktree thing up. We post every day on X at least one free pick for baseball. We will give away at least a couple picks for college football and NFL, but do check that out. We are on Dub Club. You subscribe weekly and monthly and even sign up for a free trial. So check that out. Dub Club sources from the sofa gambling picks. We're hitting out a pretty good clip still. So,
baseball, we're hitting over 60% since for about the last past month
or so.
College football, I think we're a game or two below 500, but we've been giving out a dozen picks a week. We're going to get a little more tighter on the picks we give out this week. And then in the NFL, we are hitting over 50%. I want to say we're 10 wins, 7 losses right now. So 10 and 7 out of our 17 picks in the NFL early. We didn't release the game today, but we did have the under. But, you know, we won't count it officially on the record since it wasn't released.
No, of course not. So just like we did last week, we revealed Aaron's games to watch. And he has quite a list this time. Double the size of last week. So we'll try to keep this nice, short, and sweet. Game number one. My team. The Cornhuskers. 3-0. We're back, baby, against Illinois, who's also 3-0. Illinois, or Cornhuskers rather, favored by 7.5. Over-under just moved down slightly down to 42.5. Take it away, Aaron.
Yeah, I think it's been a good game. This is a Friday night game. My two teams to watch in the Big Ten preseason. Nebraska at home. Got to get that win. You got to get that win if you're Nebraska. Illinois, just I don't think they have enough offense. The over-under, like you said, has gone down to 42.5. I think this is probably a good play to play the under. Going to be a defensive battle. Nebraska have a little more offensive weapons, a little more polished. I think Nebraska gets the win.
And Jason, you don't have to comment on every game. We can just move around, and then if you have anything to say, just go ahead.
I mean, you're taking shots at my home state, Illinois, fighting Illini over the Cornhuskers. Rome thinks this is still Eric Crouch's Cornhuskers right here. Going to be a great game. Agree on that. I think it'll be tight. Matt Rhule's got, I think, the right pieces in place for Nebraska to actually be battling from. So looking forward to this game. A lot of points, though, for Nebraska. A lot of points for an Illinois team that took down a surprising, in a surprising win over the Kansas Jayhawks, who was a lot of people's preseason, you know, hype in the Big 12. So I don't want to give Rome the satisfaction saying the Cornhuskers is going to win, but a good game to watch for some Friday night college football.
It is tomorrow night. Holy shit.
Yeah,
I got to get this podcast out, guys. All right, next game. San Jose State against Washington State. You have the over-under at 55.5.
Yeah, it's gone up to 56. I just put this game down. I think this game goes over. Washington State coming off a big upset in the Apple Cup over Washington. We know they can score points. San Jose State, they don't play any defense. They're going to have to score points. I like the over. Washington State, I think, gets 38, 40 points themselves. San Jose State finds a way to get 24. They'll score over 60 points, the two teams combined.
Game number three, Coastal Carolina +3.5 against Virginia.
Yeah, Virginia's not very good. So the fact that they're getting points, Coastal Carolina, I like them for that fact, especially in 3.5. Virginia coming off a home loss to Maryland wasn't even really competitive or close. That program's still in a rebuild. Coastal Carolina's had some good teams over the last past years. The program's pretty stable. I'll take the 3.5.
Michigan State +6.5 against Boston College.
We've talked about Boston College being a good team. We really haven't talked about Michigan State. They got the coach that came over from Oregon State. I like Michigan State to upset them. 6.5. They'll cover that. I think they're win this game outright as a dog.
Buffalo, +14 against Northern Illinois.
I think Jason wants to jump in on Northern Illinois since he is the apologetic for Notre Dame, and he's led Northern Illinois to 3 national titles in college football 25.
Yeah, obviously, man. Big year for Northern Illinois. You got to be looking out for the Maction.
Ooh, I like that. Maction.
The Maction. Maction on this game isn't on Thursday night, though, but generally you get the Maction on the Thursday night. But yeah, I mean, Northern Illinois, you're telling me they're getting 14 points?
They're favored by 14.
Oh, they're favored by 14. Yeah, okay, I was going to say. I mean, this is a team, we're going to talk about them every week, that could be, you know, the surprise pick along with Memphis and Boise State and some of these teams outside those power conference making the playoff right now. So I think you got to love the Huskies in this one.
Georgia Tech, +10.5 against Louisville.
Yeah, Georgia Tech 3-1 right now. Their only loss at Syracuse. No respect, man, no respect. Getting 10.5 going into Louisville. I think Georgia Tech covers. I think they got a good chance to win that game too, outright at Louisville.
Okay, you're picking your Florida State, huh?
I just got the line down, bro. I don't have a side yet. I'll give you a side if you want a side.
Florida State, -2.5 against California with a 44.5.
Florida State wins with a late 55-yard field goal, 22-20. 22-20, late 55-yard field goal. Get on the board of a W, baby.
Why 55 yards?
They don't get in the red zone, bro. They don't get in the red zone.
Yeah. Aaron's got the Florida State kicker in some sick college football fantasy league or something.
He's been their best offensive weapon.
He's getting 6 fantasy points for a 55-yard field goal for this guy.
That's fucking hilarious.
This is how the game's going to play out at the end. Florida State's going to come up with a defensive stop on fourth down. They're just going to get in field goal range, like I said, 55, 56-yarder. He barely clears the crossbar. Florida State wins 22-20.
Wait, are they at California?
No, that's in Tallahassee.
Okay, I was about to say, man, I could have got some tickets. Like, they're cheap. Get it for $10.
Dude, you can get tickets at Florida State right now, bro. They're only selling out about a third of that stadium, so they're cheap there right now.
I heard they're giving away for Halloween candy. Parents are taking them away. New Mexico, +15 against Fresno State.
Yeah, New Mexico, man. They got Bronco Mendenhall, the coach there. They've been competitive. New Mexico's been pretty competitive. They've lost some games. Bad luck. Getting the 14, what is it, 14 points here? 15. They cover. New Mexico covers against Fresno State.
And here you got Colorado and Baylor.
Well, we've been talking a lot about Deion and Colorado. Maybe a coming out party for that defense. Good defensive performance against Colorado State. I think they had something they can look forward to in this game. Baylor's program up and down. I like Colorado. I think Colorado makes a statement in the Big 12, gets a big win at home. They'll cover that.
Man, you think so? I mean, Baylor, even though they haven't done much, I mean, they did keep it close against a Utah team that so far has been one of the class of the Big 12. I don't know if I've seen anything out of Colorado in these first couple of weeks to be able to warrant that, you know, they're organized at all. They're basically a 2 or 3 player team right now. And unless Shador is going to do everything to get Hunter the ball, I'm not sure about that, Aaron. I think Baylor might surprise us in this one and get the media talking about Deion because they're going to be, you know, 2-2 already.
So you got Baylor with the upset, Jason?
Yeah, I'm going to get in here and say Baylor with the upset.
I like that.
I do like that.
I do like it too. Tennessee -7 against Oklahoma, over under 57.
Tennessee all day. Oklahoma doesn't have the offensive weapons to keep up with them. I like Tennessee to win double digits. Tennessee's flying under the radar still. I think they're kind of coming up. They're getting on everybody's radar. That offense has been really, really explosive. They beat the NC State bad. They won last week. They've been scoring like almost just what, 60, 70 points a game in 2 of the 3 games they've played. Like I said, Oklahoma just doesn't have the offensive weapon to keep up with them. Tennessee wins big, I think.
And Aaron and I both picked Tennessee to go to the college football playoff. Once you get past this Oklahoma game, you know, they're going to play an Arkansas team that's not very good, a Florida team that's middle of the road to not good. And then that showdown with Alabama, I think that's the game I'm looking for Tennessee versus Alabama. It'll be the real litmus test for Tennessee down the road.
Okay.
Utah plus 2.5 against Oklahoma State, 52.5.
Yeah, this is an interesting game. I don't know if Cam Risen's going to play. I haven't gotten an update on that one yet. Going into Oklahoma State, Mike Gundy's team, it's going to be a good game. These are two teams that are basically winners, you know, not, I don't want to say in the driver's seat, but has a good chance of get to that Big 12 title game. Jason's really high on Utah. I really like Utah. This is a game of Cam Risen's healthy. Utah wins. I'm just not sure where his health is at. And yeah, I mean, have to go with Wilson, the freshman quarterback, that I don't see him going into Stillwater and getting the win. So Cam Risen's healthy and plays, I like Utah. If he doesn't, I like Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I think it'll be all down on whether Cam Risen plays or not. A really good team if he does, but it was a tight game against Utah State with the backup quarterback in. Can't have that same type of performance. I mean, 38-21 is not exactly tight, but I don't think you go into a game with Oklahoma State, you know, when you're that tight against the Utah State.
Arizona State plus 3 against Texas Tech. Jesus, that's like my tongue got tied. Texas Tech, 59
Patrick
points.
Patrick Mahomes, alma mater, man. I like Arizona State, 3-point underdog to win. They've rebounded from a terrible season last year. They've been undefeated right now. Arizona State, we give all the love to Colorado and Dion trying to build that program up. Arizona State was in shambles. Second-year coach there has done a great job. I like Arizona State as an underdog to beat Texas Tech.
Here we have a fun game. Is it game of the week? I don't know. We have ranked USC minus 6 against Michigan, who's also ranked, and the beginning of the orgy party.
Yeah, the orgy party starts out there in Ann Arbor. We'll see how that goes. I don't think, you know, he's not going to be throwing the ball much, but they're going to be running the ball. I think this will be a tight, low-scoring game. I like USC 24-20 over Michigan.
Yeah, USC started the year out with that big win versus LSU in Las Vegas, followed up by a domination of Utah State. But the first big test of USC being in the Big Ten, you know, not used to the Pac-12 offenses were going up and down the field. Going to be a little messy there in the trenches when you start playing some of these, you know, bigger teams in the Big Ten with Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State, where, you know, just a different type of games to be playing in the Big Ten versus Pac-10. It'll be interesting contrast of some styles, but it'll be close. I'm just still not convinced on Michigan that this is anywhere close to the team they were last year, and potentially you're going to be unranked here in the next couple of weeks.
Well, I think I mentioned Michigan borderline 6 wins this year, right?
You did. So the defense is still stocked. If you look at like every projected first, or, you know, like the first couple of rounds, it's full of Michigan defensive players. The problem was that they lost so many guys on offense in this past draft. Warren, he had 2 touchdowns and 6 interceptions so far this season. So their offense has been
against two cupcakes.
Two cupcakes. So I'm hoping. I think Michigan was ranked in the bottom 30 nationally for total and scoring offense. So I hope you're right, Alex Horgy can actually add something. He was actually the favorite to be the starting quarterback, backed up McCarthy.
JJ McCarthy
last year, until he was beaten out late in camp. But I'm looking for the rebound. I don't think they're gonna lose 6 games, but I hope they respond and wake up against USC. I don't got anybody, but I'll be watching it.
You said lose 6 games, Aaron, or win 6 games?
I said you said both.
6-6. It's either way is right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, they're going to play Minnesota still. They got Washington, which isn't very good after everything they lost. Michigan State team that, you know, has been on the rise, but not necessarily there.
I think Michigan State is better than Michigan right now.
It could be, but I think there's like 4 or 5 cupcakes on this schedule still. It'd be close. It could be a 7-8 win team, but I don't know about 6 wins, but not the wildest take.
I wouldn't be surprised if they won just 6. I think I said they could be 7-5, 6-6.
One thing about Aaron.
I think a lot of people before the year started had them beating USC. I did too. I've changed my tone on that after seeing, you know, watching game film of these teams over the last few weeks. We'll see what Orgy's got, if he can bring a spark, because we know Warren doesn't have it. Like Rome said, 2 TDs, 6 interceptions against bottom D1 programs. So Orgy, the knack on him was accuracy. We know he's quite quick feet. He can run. Michigan's going to go to that run game, but USC, that defense under D'Anthony Lynn, they're the real deal. This defense is the real deal. So you're going to have to score points to beat USC.
Anthony Lynn, which is a great segue to the next game. You have LSU minus 24 against UCLA, who just got annihilated last week. It was a massacre in the Rose Bowl. Surprisingly, the over-under is 56 points.
Yeah, I think LSU can get 56 points themselves.
Jesus Christ.
So UCLA, they're one of the worst power conference teams right now, I think, going. I mean, Deshaun Foster.
They don't look good.
No, I mean, I wish him the best. I don't know. I mean, hopefully things get better as the season goes on, and maybe he gets into year two. But, you know, we're talking about a guy that just, you know, Chip Kelly kind of walked away unexpectedly. Then you get Deshaun Foster, who's never been a coordinator, just a position coach, steps in. He looks way in over his skis right now, deer in the headlights, doesn't know what he's doing. This program looks lost. So we'll see what UCLA does, man. I mean, this game's at LSU, Tiger Stadium. The spread is, what, 24? They'll have that covered by halftime.
Yeah. UCLA, I mean, you have a head coach that leaves to go be the offensive coordinator of another college team. I mean, don't see that very often. I had some other friends, UCLA fans, like Roman at the beginning of the day, just talking about, you know, UCLA and the Pac-12 offense. Big Ten doesn't see it like these teams. And, you know, barely scoot past Hawaii in that opener, get blown out by an Indiana team. You talk about teams win six games. I mean, does this team win four games this year, Aaron?
I fucking doubt it.
Well, when me and Roman were in Vegas, we were talking about UCLA's over-under, and I said under. I don't know if UCLA wins another game this year, to be truthful.
Yeah.
I had Hawaii beating them, so we'll see.
Yeah, UCLA has scored only 13 points in their games so far. I doubt they score that this one. I'm not
LSU's
watching
not
that.
Very good on defense, so this is a get-right for that defense.
And unless Deshaun Wester is on the pads, I don't think they're going to score shit. We only got three more games to go. Let's wrap it up. Kansas plus two at Virginia. West Virginia, 57.5.
Yeah, I think Jason mentioned that Kansas got upset early in the year by his Illinois team. Kansas is a team that was expecting a lot. I think they bounce back. Road dog here. Get to 500. Coming off that tough loss last Friday night against UNLV. Kansas, they're the side here. I like them to win outright.
Arkansas State plus 21 against, you know, Aaron, I really can't.
Iowa State, bro. Iowa State.
Jesus, it's like a kindergarten written this on a fucking notepad. Iowa State, 51.5. These look like S's, by the way. Your fives look like S's.
There's a number in front of it, bro, so you got to be able to interpret the difference. I just have that game down. I like the over.
Uh-huh.
I just like the over in Iowa State. Arkansas State. Arkansas State can't stop anybody. They got a decent offense. Iowa State will score some points. I just like the over in that one, 51.5.
So fun little shootout.
Yeah.
I dig it. Now, the last game. Aaron's, by the way, like, are these just games that people should be watching, or are these, like, games that we're betting on? Are we adding more to the...
A little bit of both. A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. I love it. Will there be other games that we'll be adding on Dub Club?
Possibility. There is a possibility.
Okay.
You know, you're talking about Aaron's handwriting with the...
Go ahead, Jason.
You're talking about Aaron's handwriting with the S's. Do you see the C in TCU? Like, I don't know what letter. What is that letter?
What letter do you think it is?
It looks like trying to stretch.
It's an L. Maybe it's a bracket. I'm not sure. You know?
I mean, a C is a bracket.
Oh, man. Here, check this out, guys. Hopefully we get some video on this.
All right. No one's seeing that.
TCU minus 2.5 against SMU, 58.5.
I just like SMU bounce back bye week to get the job done at home as an underdog. I like SMU to win outright at home as an underdog to beat TCU.
Okay. That's a full slate. Is there any like must games that we should be watching? If we only pick one game to watch, which one is it?
One game to watch. Let me look at those games.
USC Michigan,
but I'm going to go with Jason's game. I think Baylor Colorado is a game to watch. I also like Utah Oklahoma State. I think that's a game to watch. those two games, Big 12, those are the two games I think to watch.
Yeah, on its own at the top, I think Illini Cornhuskers are the game to watch Friday night right now. We'll see if Rome's happy on Saturday morning or not.
We will find out. We'll take a quick little break, and then we'll come back and talk a little baseball.
Yeah, we'll talk Ohtani.
Beautiful.
We are back to talk a little MLB, which we haven't done so far in our first five or six episodes. Tonight, the Dodgers scored more than my Steelers score in a football game. What was the final score, Aaron?
20-4.
20-4. That's amazing. Ohtani became the first MLB player to hit the 50-50 club for 50 home runs and 50 stolen bases. Tonight, he had multiple home runs and multiple stolen bases. Game of the ages. Six or seven hits?
Six hits. 10 RBIs, three home runs, two stolen bases. Just so you know, Jason, that cost us $40 in the big league.
Yeah, Aaron and Jason are in a fantasy league together, so I guess you have to pay money for that.
I got to tell you, in Aaron's league that he invited me to, still learning the rules of this baseball league, a lot of goofy stuff that goes on in the auction at the beginning of the year. There were two big players on the market for this fantasy league, and it was Acuña and Ohtani at the beginning of the year, and I was trying to manage the salary cap. And I think the biggest mistake I made was not going after Ohtani, because you think he went for a bargain compared to what Acuña did.
$39.
Cheap. Insane cheap bargain. And when I look at how poorly my team hits, not even jumping all over what he went, just an insanely terrible managerial fantasy choice, which goes with the rest of my terrible fantasy teams.
Well, I think to be fair, Jason, you know, we still had the Fed investigation into Ohtani. We wasn't sure if he's going to get suspended. Did you want to waste that much money on a guy that was going to miss time? That's how I look at it, and that's how I got calculated in my formula.
There you go. Aaron with the advanced stats for fantasy. I'm sure this everyone's super interested in me and Aaron's fantasy NL only baseball teams right now out there. But you know, my couple things on this story, guys. The one thing, if you don't follow on X at Freezing Cold Takes, you know, we're going to give a lot of bad takes on this show that are potentially be freezing cold takes. But with Ohtani going 50-50, first player and only player at MLB to do that, there were some great freezing cold takes out there today. Quote, he's basically like a high school hitter. That was an MLB scout of that belief show. Hey, Ohtani wouldn't be able to hit big league pitching. That was from the Sporting News way back in 2018. Another good one, it was Bill James online. This was in 2019. You remember how exactly a year ago everybody was all excited about Shohei Ohtani being the next Babe Ruth? That was fun with all the sarcasm in the world on that tweet. So just an insane amount of, you know, pressure on Ohtani when he came over here, being, you know, everything about him being the next Babe Ruth with both pitching and hitting, and without pitching at all this year, hey, I'm just going to be the greatest hitter of all time and put together a season that no one's done. It's just truly a shame that just baseball isn't more present in the American culture. Aaron and I are big fans. The only people kind of, you know, watching NL baseball on a, you know, Saturday night in September. But, you know, if this was in the 90s, what we're going on with Ohtani right now, this would be leading, you know, the Today Show and Good Morning America and everybody talking about it. And it's just going to be a blip on the radar right now, which is truly, truly sad for how amazing this season has been for him.
Yeah, I mean, historically, maybe they're talking the greatest season ever by a Major League Baseball player hitter-wise. First ever 50-50, as you mentioned, Jason. I'm just curious what the odds were for him to get to 50-50 and if his ex-interpreter was able to get in on that action to kind of pay off some of his debts. That's what I want to know right now. Did Shohei give him the inside info and say, bro, I'm going 50-50, get on it now, get your debt paid off. I'll see you when I retire.
Ohtani also got it was just a historical night, 16th player in Major League Baseball history with 10-plus RBIs in a game. So I might have to rewatch that.
There was some great stuff on X too, that him going 6-for-6, three home runs, 10 RBIs, two stolen base. If he was on the Angels, they still would have lost.
That's pretty good, man. That's pretty crazy.
For sure. If he was on the White Sox, that'd be an L.
Yeah, it would sure be an L, but the owner of the White Sox, Mr. Jerry Reinsdorf, said he laughed at the question of the White Sox being after Ohtani in free agency last year. So that would never happen. But I think I have more takes on the White Sox. We will save that for another day once they make
history. That's its own pod.
The White Sox are on the verge of making history. So we'll wait until they actually cement themselves in the history books for baseball.
And you called it last time. You talked about the Angels having their worst record in their history, and then the White Sox chasing to be the worst team in history. I think it was an interesting article. I can't remember what platform, how you would think the clubhouse would be down and out in Chicago, but they're not. Pretty high spirits. Pretty, I guess they're enjoying the moment for what it is, which is kind of interesting.
There was a lot of press in the White Sox this week. That article I think you referred to was the one that Jeff Passan did where he spent some time with the White Sox. I mean, the players, you know, they got to do what they got to do to stay entertained. But I think the White Sox as an organization, there's way much deeper there that we'll get into at a later date. But I think you looked out in Anaheim down the road from us this week. You had the White Sox and Angels playing. I think the LA Times wrote an article, this is the worst baseball game ever played. Generally, as a, you know, us long-suffering White Sox fan, I always make the trip to go to all three games when the Angels play the White Sox. I wouldn't even go near that stadium this year because they're a disgrace.
None at all?
No, not at all. Like, you know, and I hate when they're playing in September. You know, I like a good summer baseball game when they come out here, but they're playing in September. I'm not going to plan to go see, you know, two of the worst teams in MLB history and give my money to it. But it's provided a lot of content for just some of the worst baseball between for my personal team as one of the few White Sox fans out there. There's not really many of us. And then just in our local area, Angels fans, a lot of my friends are Angels fans. So just commiserating over that we have two of the worst franchises in the game right now.
Not only that, they couldn't even finish the game in 9 innings. They actually gave you 13 innings of baseball yesterday. So hopefully they didn't cut off the booze after the 7th inning and kept that thing going.
I hate that new rule, man. I hate that rule. Real quick before we bounce out. So the Dodgers win today, got them to 91-62. Everyone has been playing like 500 baseball.
I think they clinched the division with the win too, right? The Dodgers?
I'm not sure, but I'm looking at it. Now they're tied with the Phillies for the best record.
They clinched the division, right?
They clinched the playoff berth.
Okay.
The division, the Padres are still 4 games out. Okay. Diamondbacks still 6 games out. Tomorrow night, I'll be going to the Diamondbacks-Brewers game out there in Milwaukee. So I'll get to see, you know, two playoff teams, you know, going at it out there. So get to see some real baseball after they played some of the worst baseball down the street this week. I'll get to see some of that out in Milwaukee tomorrow.
That'd be pretty cool. I heard they have a pretty cool stadium.
Yeah, looking forward to it. You know, try to knock a stadium off my bucket list every year. Was up in Rome's neck of the woods in San Francisco checking out the Giant Stadium a few years ago. I'm going to be in town in Milwaukee and really wanted to catch that stadium. So
any predictions of how like the playoffs are going to look standing wise since like we're only like a week or two out?
I think in the NL, it's going to be the Phillies and Dodgers. I don't think there's really anything stopping that collision. Both teams really good. I know that the Phillies have had some ups and downs, but so has the Dodgers. No one's really dominated. The Brewers have probably one of the silent good seasons of the year. You know, they're 10 games up in the NL Central. And I don't think anyone's talking about them as a team that's out there. So, but I still think that the Dodgers Phillies is probably the series to watch. National media, everyone's getting in love with the Yankees, of course. The Astros, after starting really bad at the beginning of the year, came back and claimed the West for the most part. So, but I think the National League, if we look at that National League Championship Series, that's Dodgers-Phillies, I think that's really the World Series game we're playing right there, because I think the World Series winner comes out of the National League.
Wild card looks pretty tight, though. You got the Mets at 85-68. Braves are just below with 83 wins. Padres and Diamonds battling it out in the West. I think there was a tiebreaker that they were featuring that they were talking about recently about the Mets. They weren't even in the playoff picture not too long ago.
No, well,
the first month of the year for the Mets was disastrous, but they got hot after April, started turning things around mid-May. Braves that you mentioned, they're 2 games back. Just all the injuries kind of dismantled that team from pitching to hitting. A lot for them to overcome. It's going to be tough. I was looking at their schedule. They got I think it was either the Phillies or the Mets. They basically got to win about 8 of their final 10.
Ooh.
So we'll see how that goes to get in. Going back, Jason said, Dodgers and Phillies, they've been the class of the NL all year, and likely the two top teams, one of them is probably going to come out. But the Diamondbacks, they're a team that's really hot, and they don't fear the Dodgers. They played a series, I think, about 2-3 weeks ago where every game was like 10-11, 10-9, 8-7. Just a crazy series. Dodgers pitching, that's going to come down. Can their starting pitching carry them? Their hitting lineup's crazy good. But if I had to say, I would agree. I think Phillies, Dodgers, one of those two probably comes out of the National League, American League. Yankees have had a great run. But I think the Guardians, Cleveland, all the problems they've had, never winning a World Series. The only time they got there, they got beat by the Braves back in the 90s. I think it's going to be the Guardians coming out of the American League, and we'll see who ends up coming out of the National League.
I mean, Guardians lost to the Cubs, too. So, I mean, it's not too distant future. They're losing in a Game 7. Yeah. What you like about the Guardians has really been Class A. He's basically been unhittable, potentially could be in the Cy Young conversation as a closer. I think his ERA is like 0.5 or 0.6 or something like that. But, I mean, you aren't getting anything. So that's what you want in the postseason. If the Guardians are getting a lead, this guy's not giving it up, so which could be very valuable in these short series now with the wild card and everything.
Cool. I think that wraps it up. We'll see everybody on Monday, see how we did on our picks. Follow us on IG, on X, on Dub Club. Get those gambling picks in. Make some money with us. And we'll be back with the results and full analysis after week 4 of college football and week 3 of the NFL.